Guten Morgen. Hallo. Hallo. I'm here. For this weekend
Mormons. Good, you're back.
I went to Germany this weekend.
Go on.
Well,
I like that that's your lead-in. Hello, everybody. Welcome to This Week in Mormons. I went to Germany.
Well, I figured, why not cut to the chase? I went to Germany. I had a car, a lovely Ford Fiesta. You should all buy one. And we drove to Hamburg and stayed in a cool hotel. And Hamburg's pretty okay. I don't feel, like, compelled to ever go there again in my life. But it was all right. It was fine. We saw things. Probably the best of which was Miniature Wunderland.
I saw a picture of that. What is that, just a model train thing?
Sort of, but it's like on steroids. You don't just have model trains on a simple layout. Like, if it's even trains, it's running through. I mean, they recreated the Swiss Alps with the Matterhorn and everything, with like trains on multiple... Trains on multiple levels. This is a two-story deal. So they have a lot of different dioramas. Trains, cars, they clearly use some kind of magnetic pole thing underneath the roads because they've got all these cars and trucks just move around on their own doing their thing on no track. And it was actually very entertaining. My favorite part was a scale replica of the airport in Hamburg that actually had airplanes taxiing away from their gates on their own, lining up and going to a runway, and then these little pole things would connect to the models, and then they rev up and they zoom and they take off and fly through a little curtain thing at the end of the wall of the room, and then other planes, and then they cycle through and planes come and land the other way, and then they break and hit the runway and those little support poles come off, then the magnet poles pull them around and they go and they taxi back to a gate and they do their thing. It was actually very impressive from a technical standpoint. And I
could see you loving this.
I sat there like a little kid, just like, dude, this is the coolest thing ever. These model planes are landing in front of us. Landing!
It's so dumb.
It is not so dumb. It was remarkable. And you should have seen the United States.
Like, whoever built that, well done. But still, it's one of those things where, like it would be like your life's work. And then everybody else that looks at it is like, yeah, that's a little toy. Looks like a little toy airplane.
Or it would be your life's work, and the majority of people will never care about it. That's true. But the America section was great. You had Mount Rushmore, something that was supposed to be Bryce Canyon / the Grand Canyon, but it honestly looked like Big Thunder Mountain at Disneyland. And then they had Vegas and Miami Beach. This is what they think of America, basically. We are cowboys and partiers. That's what I learned.
But I think that's fair.
There was no representation of New York City. No Hollywood sign. No great Midwest. No fields of corn.
That would summarize America to me. The Hollywood sign, New York City, and fields of corn.
That is America right there.
What more do you need?
Throw in a rusting, decomposing factory somewhere in Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, or whatever, and you've got the whole country covered. Oh, and some racists from the South.
If you are a racist, I will attack you with the North.
Anyways, Hamburg was pretty fun. It's fine, and it's cool because it's got a lot of canals and water and stuff. It actually has more bridges than London, Venice, and Amsterdam combined. So,
did you take little boats around there?
We took a little 2-hour cruise that went up. The way
No, who are the guys in Venice that have the little push cart things?
Yeah, those are the gondolas. They didn't have that. But what we had what was a boat though, Al, and the driver was the tubby version of you.
Yeah, I saw that. Thanks for tagging me.
Wasn't it terrific?
I untagged myself.
Why would you do that? We sat there.
Because he was a close enough representation. People could honestly mistake him for me. They'd be like, Al, you have really let yourself go, buddy.
And why are you driving?
It was creepy. That was an eerie close call.
Oh, it was great. It was so funny when we saw that. And he was just blabbering. He struck me. He must have been very entertaining, but I had to wear headphones with a pre-recorded track instead of hearing him do his spiel in German. But, yeah, there's your doppelganger right there if you ever want to grease your hair back and put on about 100 pounds.
I also feel like the guy from Restaurant Impossible is my doppelganger.
Robert Irvine?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of that.
Oh, And he is your doppelganger because?
Because we look identical.
Absolutely. I see with the hair and the face and the build and the mannerisms and the accent. Yeah, I'm into it.
It's so true.
Is this what cable TV has done to you? You watch Restaurant Impossible now?
No, I'm not even kidding. Storage Wars. I've been up till 2 in the morning on Storage Wars more times than I care to. Like, I'll just be flipping through and it's 11 o'clock and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well, it's Barry. I just want to see what he's going to do. 3 hours later, I'm hating myself, wishing I'd never turned on the TV and dragging myself to sleep. It's awful. Yeah, how is that entertaining? But I can't stop watching it.
I know. I've missed 2 Sundays of Food Network Star. I don't even know what to do with myself.
Jeff, but in your favor, though, you get to catch up on those 2. It's like a little gift.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm so behind the times. Who knows what's happened? But I hear you. I'll watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or Iron Chef. If we had HGTV, I'd probably get sucked into Property Virgins. Great program.
Triple D. I can't get enough.
Yeah, it's...
Well, what's funny is like I only watch them because there's nothing else on, right? Like your alternatives are some MTV awfulness or SportsCenter. And so I'm like, well, I'll just settle in on my A&E here. Let's see what we got going on.
Yeah, well, now that basketball is over, like in every way, you've got nothing to live for.
I really don't. But that's neither here nor there. Jeff, I'm glad Germany was great. How's the trip finishing up? You're out of there pretty soon, aren't you?
Yeah, I finally come home on Friday. I miss America. I feel that Denmark's greatest sin is that it doesn't have Chick-fil-A. And if they did, I would buy a franchise. It would be awesome. But
you should start with a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so I miss America when I'm gone for this long. Even my wife is with me. It's a great blessing, though. Wonderful to have her here.
Yeah, imagine if your wife wasn't with you.
If my wife wasn't with me, I'd be going nuts.
Wow.
It would be horrible. I would be spending every evening probably holed up in my room here.
You are unbearable to talk to as is, but without your wife, I would die. I would just die a slow death.
Well, that's why I just want to talk to you.
We could not speak if your wife wasn't there with you.
Yes, we could. I would just spend my time watching weird Danish television.
Also?
You got to be careful. I was channel surfing the other day for like 2 seconds, and I think I stumbled through MTV or something, and you heard him say in English, well, we just figured we should all get naked, and I was like, You got to be careful here in Europe.
Wait,
you
know, those sounds were very ambiguous. What exactly did you do? when you saw this happen, was that what happened?
That's my shrill, like, get away.
Channel noise. Okay. Sure. All right. It could have gone either way.
Yeah. Oh, church. I went to church in Germany, though. That was fun. Great to go to church in places where you've never been.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was pretty good. The chapel and the building they had there in Hamburg is probably the largest I've ever seen in Europe for any church building. It was enormous.
Is it a built just for the church, or is it like a building refinished?
No. It's a freestanding, like, area on a corner. Full building, lawn, parking spaces. It looks like it's
the American church.
It looks like it's been there, though, for a long time. They must have bought that up ages ago.
I wish we were more creative with our chapels internationally.
Yeah?
I feel like we go... I mean, we go with the American-style Mormon chapel everywhere we go, and there's never... Which, I mean, it's good because you recognize it, but it's bad because it's like... So, not culturally relevant.
So you propose something more along the lines of an Orthodox church where there's a veil of sorts between the congregation and the pulpit. And so nobody...
No, just in the outside shape. So like build a stone chapel.
Well, we try to do cool ones now with temples at least. We're trying to make temples more culturally relevant.
No, we're excited if we get just a little semblance of cultural relevance in a temple. It's not like they're making big moves, but like what was the... The one where do we have that chapel? In Saudi Arabia? No.
No, it's Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi, yeah.
Right.
And it looked cool. It looked like it was part of that culture.
I think they try harder to blend
that.
I think they try harder to blend in countries where they face potential legal hurdles in being there in the first place.
Where people might kill us.
Well, honestly, I mean, it's like the UAE is a pretty decent country. It's not a democracy or anything, but they're relatively okay with other faiths. They have a lot of restrictions. So I think they want to play ball and be good citizens and not try to stick out. So in wonderful free countries like Germany, I guess, they just don't care. I mean, what are they going to do, build a Gothic church for us?
That's what I'm saying. Give us a little goth. And when you're in Russia, let's build some of those funky Taj Mahal-looking things going on.
I believe you mean onion domes like that found on St.
That's the one.
On the Basil.
Like church. In Aladdin or on St. Yeah, either one of those.
I like Aladdin. Let's watch Aladdin.
That's a great one.
One jump ahead of the...
how was your fourth? Did you do anything exciting?
No, didn't do anything. I worked. It was great.
I went to the Bees game, and they won it in the bottom of the ninth with a grand slam.
Isn't that exciting?
It was pretty exciting.
A walk-off grand slam is pretty dang awesome. Seriously, that's fun.
Yeah, it was the setup, the everything. It was very dramatic. And then the finish, we win, and then we all rush the field and watch fireworks from the field. It was great.
They let you on the field?
Oh, that's right, Jeff. I laid in the grass of the Salt Lake Bees.
Yeah, they don't do that at Major League Baseball parks. They don't let you.
That's
on the
not
field.
True. I did it at Dodger Stadium 2 years ago.
Oh, well, look who's fancy and better than everyone.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
And
maybe
last year,
you should check your facts.
Maybe I should remind our listeners that about a little over a year ago, Al was invited down to throw some beanbags or something at a Salt Lake Bees game and attempt to hit a target. And if he did, he would be, what, put into a drawing to win something? I don't know. What
yeah,
I
mean. Yeah.
Al throws like a little sissy.
And then Jimenez, as he's walking out, yo, bro, how you don't hit that, man? How you don't hit that?
I mean, Al makes fun of me for my purported non-manliness, but for goodness sakes, I can throw a baseball a million times better than he can. This is just, it was just sad for you.
Yeah, that was not my finest moment. It was like an 8x4 sheet of plywood, and I couldn't hit it with 3 tries.
And that was like, what, 15 feet away? That was it?
I know. It all shook me because I was, the first one, the strength was too little, and I like it uh-huh. dropped, and then uh-huh. I tried to put a little more mustard on the hot dog, and it veers off. And then my third one, when I was trying to, I was still uh-huh. playing with the strength. I should have just thrown hard.
You were, I
you
think
know, it's hard.
I think you were too beguiled by the little girl chick who was helping you do everything. Because you were trying to figure out a way to get an in. I remember.
Yep.
You were trying to work true. That angle. You were too psyched out, man. You just got to be you. Al, let me tell you some.
I was in love.
Let me tell you some things I've learned from marriage and getting married, where you have failed
okay.
to do so.
Okay.
Just be yourself, man. Don't feel the pressure. Just be you. Be confident.
Yeah.
Go in there and just guns blazing and make it happen.
Okay.
When you're true to yourself, she will be true to you. Jeff Opechon.
Okay. This all sounds wonderful, Jeff.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad you had fun. I missed the fourth. I'm sad. I am sad I missed the fourth. The fourth is a lot of fun in D.C.
You didn't miss very much. I was here for the whole thing. I mean, it was good, not great.
Did you not go to Stadium of Fire?
No.
Well, that's why it was good, not great. Got to go down to Provo, most patriotic city in Utah.
Whoop, whoop.
Obviously. Yeah, but I missed it. I mean, nothing went on here. It was just Thursday.
Sad.
Kinda.
All right, well, Jeff, we have Mormon news also.
Occasionally, there are things of that nature to discuss on this program. And we shall do it. I don't even know what to lead off with. It's a miscellaneous news week, everybody. So I wouldn't sit down and wait.
Don't expect much
for some hard hitting analysis of issues of the day. It's a fluff show this week. So brace yourselves.
It's a fluff show. You can't. That's like when you get up to give a talk and you say,
"I just started doing this morning."
The bishop called me last night and. And I see a bishop. I guess I shouldn't answer the phone. You know what I'm saying, everybody?
I'll rephrase.
Just
I can rephrase. Guys, you got to listen all the way through the end of the show because, as you know, our show is quite it's very improvisational. We do what we do, and you don't know what humor
awesome show
you're going to miss. If you tune out now, who's to say what kind of crazy antics we'll get into by the end? You don't want to miss that.
Yeah, it's true.
I'll be Mr. Lampshade by the time this is over.
Is that I don't know where that's from.
That's a lame party reference, the drunk guy who puts a lampshade on his head. I've never seen it in person, but it's one of those things that people talk about.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, great.
Are you eating crackers? All right, whatever. The church actually signed a funny little, not a funny petition, but there's an open letter standing for religious freedom. This is a letter by an amalgam of faith-based organizations against the Obama administration addressing...
That is a word I have not heard in years. Amalgam.
Obama?
Amalgam.
Well, they decided to amalgamate their points of view. There's another free one for you. So, this is calling on the Obama administration and Congress to respect conscious rights and religious freedom. A lot of this is rooted in simple stuff like under Obamacare, some of those mandates requiring religious institutions that provide health care to also offer birth control. Whereas, for example, the Catholic Church in the past did not do birth control because it's against their beliefs. So they wouldn't offer it, and now, in theory, they are being forced to.
The headline, though, is that we're signing a letter in favor of birth control. Not necessarily the case, even though that's like the pressing issue right now.
I was just using that as an example to illustrate. But this is all about religious freedom.
I heard that, and I was like, we don't feel that strongly about birth control,
no.
Do we? I don't think we do.
I think there might have been a time when we did, but we are very much in the that's just a private decision for you to make as a couple area. We don't care one way or the other.
Yeah, if you want to strategize how to have your babies, that is fine with the Mormons.
Yeah, just don't hold off for stupid reasons. That's pretty much the only chance we'll ever see.
Once you're pregnant
forever.
It's true. So I guess the way this went down is this feels like a lot of fluff. Like it won't do almost anything.
It won't do anything. They should have made this one of
those. It's an informal and diverse group of religious leaders, theologians, lay practitioners, and community servants. We believe the doctrines of our respective faiths require something of us beyond the walls of our churches. And it's just saying, treat us nicer. You shouldn't be mean.
Yeah, well, it's not just that. It is the issue of religious liberty. I mean, Elder Oaks testified in Congress almost 2 years ago now, maybe, about issues like this, about allowing churches and faith-based organizations to still operate within their own self-defined parameters and not have the government dictating how one can worship, because that, of course, goes against some of the most fundamental rights espoused in the Constitution.
Is there anything in this that's a little bit more, I guess, committed?
Substantive? Like no.
Yeah. Are they saying that we as this coalition plan to fight further grievances against religious freedoms? Or is it just saying, hey, we're all here. We notice you guys were taking some of our freedoms and liberties. We'd like you not to love us.
I don't think there's much they can do. Honestly, I get that this carries weight because it's from the heads of many institutions. But what if they would have done one of those We the People petitions that the White House does? And if it hits a certain threshold, the White House has to respond. That's what you do. Yeah. They're legally obligated. You get your 50,000 signatures, boom.
They will respond to you.
We should do a Kickstarter for this.
Why do we need money?
To print the flyers.
With elephants. Elephants wearing
and donkeys.
Tutu.
Elephants and donkeys. This is what you get. You get an elephant who's wearing a cross and a donkey who's wearing,
a yarmulke.
A yarmulke, sure. And then you have Obama standing on top of them with a copy of his healthcare mandate, crushing their spirits and their freedom.
Oh, gosh, that sounds awful.
Did I just not describe a political cartoon to you? Did I not paint a word picture?
You did. You're like a Shakespeare, but with words.
I should work for The Economist. This is delightful.
Absolutely. So, let's see. I'm going to save that one for the end.
Okay.
The 100th stake in Peru.
I like it.
Was created. Jeff, what you're a man who loves this geography. What does this mean for you in your game of Risk / Salvation?
Obviously, you move your army out of Chile. You move it up. You move it up into old New Spain. Take that Peru.
What other countries have 100 stakes in them?
That's a good question. The USA, obviously. Mexico, I believe. And I would imagine the Philippines and potentially Brazil. I would...
Really? The Philippines?
Yeah, I would... If, that's a maybe.
Canada? Canada have 100 stakes?
I doubt it. I would hesitate to go beyond that. No, I don't know if Canada has 100 stakes. Canada's population in Brazil and Peru's probably aren't that... Peru, I'm sure, has fewer people than Canada. Canada's got about, 30-odd million people, and Peru only has... Peru has 30 million people. There we go. So they're actually comparable to one another. Huh. But I don't know. I don't know if Canada would have 100 stakes or not. I'd have to dig some stuff up on, Camorra.com or some of those websites.
Brazil? Would Brazil have 100
stakes? Yeah, Brazil is one of the ones I would think also has 100 stakes.
So Peru is one of maybe five countries?
Peru is in a very elite club in terms of church saturation. Now, the amazing thing, though, is this is their 100th stake. Maybe this is a testament to how much Peru has grown in the past 10 years since let's face it, they really clamped down on a lot of inactivity issues and things over the past while. And I imagine Peru has benefited from that. Peru just had the Lima Temple, and that was it for a very long time.
Yeah.
And
so
now,
with 30 million members, and they have maybe, if you figure 2,500 members per stake, right? You're talking 250,000 members. You're talking one in every 120 people, right?
Something like that, yeah. And it's but
not
you see
bad, Peru.
You see how much it's picked up though, because you have Peru's had the Lima. I always feel like temples are a great indicator of actual church stability, and the Lima Temple's been there since the 80s. And now the Trujillo Peru Temple is under construction, which is a little bit farther north. And they recently announced the Arequipa Peru Temple in the conference of October of 2012. So obviously the work is picking up and retention is better and things are going well when Peru's had one temple over a 20-year stretch and now it's been getting two more in a much shorter period of time. So good for them.
Good work. Good work, you Peruvians.
I'm proud of them. And, I don't think it's, let's see here. I don't know if it says anywhere what the actual population is, as far as, yeah, there are 520,000 Mormons in Peru. There you go, Al. You were spot on.
Man, I'm good.
You are good. That's an elite club. I mean, there are only, the U.S. has over 1 million members, obviously. Mexico has over 1 million members. I don't know if Brazil has hit that threshold yet or not, but it's good for Peru. Who would have thought, man? Party.
Not me. Whew.
Did you know that Mormons are Muslims and Glenn Beck is going to Hades?
Is he our ruler?
According,
I didn't know these.
According to the Christian News Wire, a resource of news, if you will, for Christians...
that read news from wires.
They are baffled about many things with the Glenn Beck. Apparently, Glenn Beck is having some Man in the Moon event, or it just happened.
If you believe.
And they only refer to the church as a cult, by the way, in this article. Not once is the church referred to as a church. It is referred to as a cult 19 times in the article.
Hello. That was a control F if I ever heard it.
It was a control F if you ever heard it. Oh, man. But, man, these people are they're just so angry. And the real question in this article is, why did Christians fund cultist Glenn Beck's Mormon coming out party? I don't get that one. Did Glenn Beck suddenly proclaim his Mormonism this weekend? Because I'm pretty sure it's been on display for a while.
Yeah, they just weren't paying attention.
He calls us modern-day Judases.
Well,
he says that Mormons are no more Christian than Muslims.
Now, here's what's sad is he's just walking right into what was prophesied. We knew this would come.
Yeah, so
we knew people wouldn't like us.
So why is that news relevant to you, listeners? I don't really
it's
know
not.
Unless
no.
if you
no,
if you
not.
Happen to have Christian friends who actually buy into stuff like that, then let's do our part now with the greater emphasis on missionary work to make it better.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like that's all a fair request.
We can do that.
Thank you.
So, after our big Mormon missionary hoo-ha-ha of a couple of weeks ago, where missionaries were going to be able to be on Facebook,
oh my,
and be working on things and the whatnots. There's an article written up in the Chronicle, the Houston Chronicle, about this, which it's interesting to read through how other people perceive this, because it, I mean, it's, think if you weren't a Mormon and you and like all of a sudden we're like, yeah, Catholics are now going to be preaching the gospel on Facebook. I would be like, oy, whoa, they're going to find me. I know they are, because all they're going to do is segment me as a list of people that have not selected Catholic as my religion. They're going to get me. They're going to get me.
Can I tell you one thing I love about the photo that accompanies this article?
The one with the missionary standing there holding an iPad and an iPhone?
No, no, the lead, is this the same one, right? No, you got the lead photo that shows one missionary sitting there typing on a computer, Facebook clearly open in one window. They get two monitors. They're not even messing around. And his companion, I can't quite tell if his companion is in a different cubicle doing other work, or if his companion's the poor guy who's just sitting there, like, watching his friend play on the computer.
It's like when...
you know exactly what I mean.
As a missionary, yeah, you'd go and, like, type up a flyer or something for your ward, and one would sit there because he couldn't type very good.
Or when you invite your friends over to, like, watch you play computer games.
Yeah.
People do that.
Man, I'm playing Civilization 4. You guys want to come watch?
I never make anyone watch it when I, if I play Civilization. If I have played Civilization. If.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I just the picture makes it look like his companion's just sitting there like, yeah.
I'm still incredibly curious to see how this translates into real live action. Because, the church has not, they haven't even released the tools yet to do this. It's happening next year, but what will it look like when it happens?
Well, I feel like it's unfair to make it fall all on the missionaries. It's only really going to come full circle if, like, President Monson will do a live Google Hangout and let people just join him and do his thing.
And we could put, like, he'll put, like, puppy dog ears on himself.
Well, he knows how to make them. He'll wiggle those ears. He will wiggle them. And he can put the little caption underneath that says what he is. You know, that's when we will have come full circle. Google Hangouts with general authorities.
It's like, hold on, it's Tuesday. I got to go home. Monson's going to be on the Hangout. Yeah, I could see that happening.
And they can make appointments online. I hope they can just use an online calendar. Because, man, can you imagine how nice it would be to have a digital device, a little mini computer, as Newt Gingrich would call it. What is this?
What's happening to my body?
What is this thing? What do we call this? Instead of having, I know they don't really even use the old blue schedules anymore. But gosh, I would have loved to just have a little device with my calendar on it that I could just update on the fly.
Man, I disagree. I learned to schedule better with those blue planners than anything else I've ever used in my life.
They were fun. I mean, those were kind of my...
They were effective. Those things work, man.
That was my lifeblood on the mission. I used it to schedule, but inside, all I carried with me during the day was just a Book of Mormon, and then I stuffed my planner folded into thirds inside the first sleeve right there of the Book of Mormon.
I was with you. Same thing?
That's all I did. So if we had contacts, I'd check them off. I'd keep track of our numbers. I'd do everything on there.
There's some other stuff happening missionary-wise. There's another interview in the Battalion, a Texas A&M publication. Well, they interviewed two missionaries, both while they were there and then after they went home. It's good press. All these are good things that... Normally, there's like jabs. We'll take little jabs. Mormons, I feel like we're getting a little bit more respected as we become a little more mainstream, maybe? Do you think that's a real thing?
I think that's a very real thing. And that goes with what I've talked about a few times before, the two schools of thought regarding how to go about the work. Those who think we need to be more mainstream, be one of the club, highlight what we have in common. And those who feel that, no, we are a distinct people with a totally different message. We're not in here to sit here and chummy up and just be one in the crowd. No, no. Right now, I think we're going for the one in the crowd thing.
It could happen.
Another missionary story, though, Al.
Yeah, keep going.
Change the topic, Al. Change the topic now.
Okay.
This is written by Mark Albright. Credentials he has, unknown to me. Who knows? But but late one evening...
Should we listen to him? Maybe not.
He tells us a beautiful story about when he was on his mission. And I don't even know who these missionaries are. It's just a random picture of missionaries. I was like, is this his son? Is this him? I don't know. But he says, his companion, they were knocking doors. You know, it was near the end of the night. They're just trying to get some contacts in. They meet a fella, says, I love Mormons. Come on in. And they says, but I could never be a Mormon. And why is that? Then as they talked inside his house, this man proceeded to tell the missionaries about all the things that were amiss in his lifestyle. But the atmosphere grew tense because the companion of this guy began to directly approach the delicate topics without completely understanding him. And the man was becoming offended. The spirit was leaving because this missionary was trying to be a judge in Israel. But the spirit...
But the spirit prompted
this other missionary to... And actually said to him, you can discuss this subject later. Change the topic now. So he jumped in. He changed the topic, and the tension eased. Because I would imagine how tense that would be. Hey, I like missionaries to come to my house, and within 15 minutes, all of a sudden, you're like really getting in deep with me, with my problems and my sins. You know, I'd be like, who is this guy? What are you doing? So they had a more spiritual discussion, and eventually, that guy got baptized and stuff. He fought him off for a while, but then eventually, without... pestering
Jeff,
him.
Why are you telling us this story? This isn't news. This is just a dumb op-ed.
I'm filling airtime. So then without this...
Jeff, this is awful. You have failed as your role of the newsman.
Oh, yeah?
Let me tell you a little news story about Mormons. There is some missionaries up in southern Alberta who helped clean up after the floods recently. And one of my friends from Toronto, Margo, who is a South African living in Toronto, who called to serve in southern Alberta, was on it, on this little YouTube piece. Alan, Jeff, that's news. That's news that matters.
Are you going to marry Margo?
No.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
I think she's 12.
No, she's on a mission.
It's probably not going to work out. She went when they said that you could be 19.
Well, that's okay. You like him young.
Do I?
Yeah, I've seen the girls you date.
Jeff, you're just mad at me because you had no news and I'm telling news.
I'm furious. How dare you?
What is your rebuttal?
My rebuttal is another pointless story by M. Millie Buchanan from the Deseret News. I like M. Millie Buchanan, who writes about a lottery winner's misfortune leading to Mormon conversion. Now, this is a great story. It honestly is, because it's a guy who found the church and he's had cool experiences. But in reading it, I've yet to find the actual correlation or causation here of I almost won the lottery, and because of not winning it, I became a Mormon. It feels like two completely independent stories that just happened to happen to the same guy.
They happened to happen.
Yeah, after I said that, I realized how terrible that was. I'd be frustrated, too. This guy, I mean, we don't do the lotto thing. You know, it's not something we condone or whatever. This is before, he wasn't LDS or anything. But he realized 3 days after a deadline that he had a lotto ticket worth nearly $6 million.
Boom!
And so he spent ages trying to take care of it and see if they give him the money. They never did. Bada bing, bada boom. Then he became involved in politics because of it and all this stuff. But then there was a knock on his door for two Mormon missionaries. And this man was on a quest to find the truth. So he joined the church.
Because he wasn't living in a big mansion that he would have bought with his $6 million.
It's true. He was thoroughly depressed about the misfortunes surrounding his life. And the missionaries helped him with his depression. But is that to say that because he lost the lotto, he joined the church? I don't know. But I'm glad he found something and stopped being depressed. I'd have a hard time letting that go. Like, honestly, if you were 3 days shy of having $6 million...
Why would you not have claimed it before the third day?
We could argue that he has received his comeuppance for failing
that's what
to
I would
be
do.
On the ball. Unless he stole the ticket from somebody and it took him that long to, you know, put the person down. Take care of him.
Yeah, I like that.
Get him out of the way.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
Let's see. Also, Brandon Flowers opens up about his faith on tour.
I feel like he's done.
I like this quote. People, I guess, are approaching him more and more about this. But he says, "I was raised in the church. There's still a fire burning within me." He said, "With the Scottish sun, I definitely don't ever want to be preachy, but less and less young people are religious. And the thing is, I see so many positive things about religion, so I'm happy to talk about it."
Which, you know, hey, that's a great attitude. But he mentions that a lot of other famous musicians were very openly religious in the past, but now it's so taboo for them to be so. Unless you're a country singer, obviously. Well, because, you know.
So good for you, Brandon. Way to be. Be diggity.
Be diggity. Al, your future wife overcame anorexia.
Okay. Does that mean that she's obese?
No. You love Lindsay Stirling.
How does one overcome anorexia?
You love her so much. I didn't realize that she has an I'm a Mormon video, and she opens up about battling eating disorders and getting over stuff. And I mention this because...
Those are real things, by the way. I make light of it because anorexia is something I don't understand.
I
don't understand not eating. It's not something I can relate to. But I do know that there
are... I once briefly dated a woman who was a recovering bulimic.
Oh, yeah.
It was interesting. I mean, she was open to talk about it. And it was something to be aware of, you know, I mean, whatever else. It's not something I fully understand either. And that's why it very much is a disorder. You know, we so easily throw this at people who we think they're just obsessing over the way they look. But a lot of the times it's something that snowballs into something much deeper than that, obviously. It becomes this gut impulse problem that one has. So,
and here I am just eating pizza. I just eat it. I went to the pie last night. I had a whole pizza.
I've had much pizza. Ask me how much German
Jeff,
food.
Jeff, have you been speaking Danish? Dutch?
No, they speak Danish here. They don't speak Dutch. They speak Dutch in the Netherlands. What is wrong with you people?
The Danish Dutch.
What about
Why can you not speak English anymore?
Who said I can't speak English anymore?
Jeff, your English is awful.
What am I saying?
You're mincing words. Your phrasing is all off. Why do you fail?
I've been English away speaking. From America for too
Jeff,
long.
Jeff, you don't even speak another language, and you're already that guy that's like, oh, what's that word in my native tongue? Hold on. Atonement. The atonement of Jesus
Christ. La expiación? Yeah, I know how to say that. Thank you. Speaking of which, I saw a Spaniard giving a tour in Hamburg. And there's times when you're home from your mission for long enough, and you speak the Spanish, you know, but you don't have as much immersion as you once did. And sometimes some South American dialects are different and therefore just different and difficult for me to understand, you know, right out the gate. So sometimes I question my abilities. But then I hear a Spaniard talking and I understand every word out of his beautiful mouth. And I felt blessed, realizing that I could still speak the mother tongue of mother tongues. It was one.
That sounds like a big mother tongue.
It was the biggest mother tongue you'll ever find.
Let's see. On kind of a sober note, so Jeff, I don't know if you were around for this, but a couple of, like last week, I think, there was a crazy fire going on down in Arizona.
Yeah.
And 19 firefighters died in it.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard all about that, yeah.
So I don't know how many, but obviously in Arizona, the chances of one of them would be a Mormon are pretty high. And there was one that was LDS in particular. And his wife was interviewed on Today Show. Kind of a pretty sad thing. I mean, if you can just imagine knowing, like, firefighting is one of those things that's dangerous anyway, but then when it's actually, you know, when that danger is a reality and something awful happens, it's just crummy. And so, I mean, worth reading, if nothing more than just to kind of honor their sacrifice. Take a read, give it a listen. Worth paying a few minutes to give a little respect there.
Okay. I'm not going to follow that up with a joke or anything. I think that's a great idea.
There you go.
Folks, we hope you'll send us... Yes, Al?
Jeff, it's me, Al. Al, I was going to say, we should tell the people where to find
us. Well, what I was going to say is, Al, if you were just a lay listener right now, and you wanted to get in touch with this show, what do you think? What would you do?
No, I would email you at contact@thisweekinmormons. That would be, or I'd just go to thisweekinmormons.com and leave a comment on one of the posts, We get notified by email and we reply to them.
I like that. I like that idea. What if I like the social media?
Oh, you could go to facebook.com/thisweekinmormons or twitter.com/therealtwim and, you know, give us a shout out. Hey, great show this week. Hey, wish you guys would have done this. Hey, I hate Jeff's mother tongue reference that made me feel uncomfortable. I mean, whatever would work, really.
And if I talk to you on these social media channels, you will respond to me?
That's right. I will.
Well, that's wonderful. I think we could do just that. That sounds terrific. I would love it if I could find the show on YouTube as well.
You can't. It's not there.
No, it is. Well, Sunday School Bonanza is.
I'm
Is there a solution for Sunday School podcasting?
I'm really sorry. It's not going to work out anymore.
All right, fine.
Sunday School Bonanza. Go find it on YouTube. Yep. All right, Jeff.
I'm out of here, man. Stitcher, wherever you want. See ya, pal. I can't wait to be back in America. Next week, folks, I will join you. I will have my Sennheiser microphone set up. It'll be so much better.
Finally.
Woof. It'll be joyous.
All right, man. Jeff, I'll see you later, buddy.
Bye, y'all. Thanks for listening to TWIM, folks, and we will talk to you next week and hope you have a terrific week. Love it. Something in the way she never looks my way. I'm in love. I'm in love. Something in the way she doesn't hear a word I say. I'm in love. I'm in love.